It's that time again, folks. The food maven, the food maverick, Arthur Schwartz. Arthur, do you have a middle name?
Robert.
So should I say Arthur?
Arthur Robert Schwartz.
That's a good name.
Named after two great-grandfathers.
Okay.
Abraham and Reuben.
I like it.
Yeah.
So happy to have you. And
thank you.
What are we discussing?
Well, here's the deal. I'm old, and many, many things have changed over my cooking life, which I'm going to say is 70 years of cooking, because I started at a very young age. In fact, just the other day, maybe on the air, I recalled that my first thing I ever... Yeah, it was on the air. That the first thing I ever cooked was a diet deviled eggs, which was basically deviled eggs with cottage cheese. Anyway, I've been cooking a long time, and, you know, I don't know, somebody said the only thing that doesn't change is change.
Right.
And I'm one of those old guys who is very accepting of change, and actually I look forward to it in a lot of ways. But I did not look to the day when I couldn't cook my old chicken recipes, because chickens have changed that much. In fact, I was thinking about this. I bought a chicken. This all started because I bought a chicken this week. I have not roasted a whole chicken in quite a while, but I was just in the mood. And how I roast a chicken is I spatchcock it. I butterfly it. You cut out the backbone and splay it and try to press down or even cut through the breastbone so that it lays flat. And then you roast it like you roast any chicken. Actually, what I do is I put it in a 425-degree oven, 450-degree oven, either one, for about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. I am now into roasting my chickens on the convection cycle of my oven, because I do find I'm not so much into the 5 minutes cooking less time, but the skin does get super crispy, which we all love.
Because without crispy skin, it's not worth it.
Pardon me?
I said without crispy skin, it's not worth it.
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far. However, I must admit that I enjoy eating the crispy skin that's covering the breasts, because we don't eat the breasts when I roast the chicken. So let's see, what has changed? Well, let's start with the size of the chicken. And when I started writing about food in 1969, we had something called broiler fryers.
Ha!
Do you remember? Yeah, of course you remember broiler fryers. They were about 2.5 pounds, no more than 3 pounds. And they were called broiler fryers because they were very good for broiling. They were small enough to... You could put them under the broiler, and they would cook through without burning them. Or you could even put them on your, grill. And frying, because frying is a fast method, you don't want a huge interior that has to cook. So they were the size for making good fried chicken. Just the other day, I got a delivery from my butcher because it was so bitter cold out. And I said, send me the smallest chicken you have. So the smallest chicken that my butcher carried, and by the way, it's about the smallest chicken you're going to find in any supermarket, too, is 4 pounds. That's what's considered a small chicken now. So one small chicken used to feed two, a broiler fryer that weighed 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds.
Hmm.
Now you got a 4-pound chicken. It feeds a lot more people, but we're only two. So what I do is I roast the chicken. We eat the drumstick, thighs, and wings for dinner when it's hot from the oven. And the breasts, now, of course, I take the skin off the breasts, and that's the chef's share. And I save the breasts for making other things. Now, I have been buying Bell & Evans chickens. Bell & Evans, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just speculating here. They breed their chickens for the breast meat. I must say, Bell & Evans chickens do have a lot of juicy breast meat. The thighs and the drumsticks, which used to be the less favored parts of the chicken, but nowadays are very treasured parts of the chicken, they are small. So I cooked this whole chicken, 4-pound chicken, splayed out on a, I put them on a rack on a baking sheet so that you get the hot air coming up from underneath as well. So my roasted chicken, I had two enormous breasts. And what do you do with them? So I know I mentioned this on the air when I came back from England, something called coronation salad. The coronation was for Queen Elizabeth II. That's 1952,
1953.
Her coronation.
And I'm just thinking, her ascension was in February of 52, so the coronation itself would have been in 53. But they brought it back for Charles's coronation and celebrations and jubilees and whatnot. And so...
Well, listen, it's become
a while ago,
this coronation chicken salad has apparently become a total standard everyday dish in England. It evolved here. By the way, what is it? It's a curried chicken salad. And I had it at least twice while I was in England, mainly because I was curious, but one day because, sort of out of necessity, we were in Stratford-upon-Avon. And it was it's a town, was totally mobbed. Bob kept saying, oh, it's a lot of tourists because it's Stratford. I said, no, tourists do not have babies and dogs. And these people who were walking up and down the main street of Stratford-upon-Avon all had dogs and babies.
Huh.
So not all, but mostly. Anyway, we went into a sandwich shop. Later on found out it was a famous sandwich shop. I'm glad I went to a famous one because that's where I had the best coronation chicken salad sandwich. Of course, on English white bread. You know what? They're English. Even though the country has really become India with pizzerias and hamburger joints, and I'm sure a lot of English people, young English people, enjoy well-seasoned food. In 1953, when this chicken salad was created by the caterers of their name is written in history, but I forget it. These two women came up with this chicken salad. I think food was a lot blander than it is now. So I made the coronation chicken salad, but I just wanted to say those breasts, those Bell and Evans chicken breasts, were so juicy. And really, and all I put on them was salt and pepper, so delicious that I cut up a few slices and just ate them as a sandwich with mayonnaise. It was divine.
Hmm.
Those Bell and Evans breasts, not so much the thighs and the drumsticks, but the breasts. Anyway, there's so many things you can do with these big chicken breasts. For one of my favorites, but I must say coronation chicken salad is not going to be up in my... at the top of my favorites, but I'll make it again because Bob actually liked it a lot because he likes seasoned food but not aggressively seasoned food. And I followed a recipe that I'm sure is pretty accurate in flavor, if not in details. And then I had to adjust it for myself because it was so bland. And then when he ate it, he said, you know, this could use a little more oomph as well as sweetness. Well, I left out one of the ingredients, which is diced dried apricots. And I didn't put them in, one, because I didn't have any apricots. Two, I didn't want to buy apricots. Three, because then they're in the house and tempting, and I shouldn't be eating them. They're terrible for a diabetic. Three, I cook them anyway, usually. Three, I don't even remember what was three, but there was several reasons I didn't put apricots in. I did have some sultana raisins, and Bob decided to sprinkle some of those on top of his chicken salad, but not for me. I liked it the way it was. But one of my favorites is moussakan. Now, moussakan is a Jordanian, more or less Jordanian dish. I've seen it in other Middle Eastern restaurants. But it is chicken with tons of sautéed onions seasoned with sumac, which is this red powder that gives a very distinctive sour flavor, acidy flavor. In fact, sumac grows, not the same sumac, but a North American version of sumac grows all over the Northeast, including all over Litchfield County. And at the end of the summer, when you see all those red candles, that's sumac. Anyway, the Native Americans used to use that to make what we would consider like a lemonade, a sour, refreshing drink. And the sumac powder that you buy comes from the Middle East, and you mix it in, plenty of it, with the onions. And then I always like to mix the chicken, which I usually make a boiled chicken for this, but the roasted chicken is going to be delicious, and I would strip it. I wouldn't slice it. I would strip it from the bones to make shreds of white meat chicken. A plump breast will do that very easily. And then I would mix it with the onions that I've sautéed until they're golden, and then add the sumac, salt, pepper, and mix in the chicken. Now, that usually is served on lavash, which is a thin, thin bread, like pita, but doesn't open up. And lavash, it needs to be moistened, usually. So when I make it with a poached chicken or boiled chicken, of course I take some of that broth and douse the bread with it. If you have some broth that you can do that with, go ahead and do that. Or don't serve it on bread at all. It's delicious just the way it is. I mean, you can make it with rice as a side dish or something else as a side dish. Or just serve it with bread to scoop up your chicken and onions. So anyway, that's a great thing to do with these chicken breasts. Another thing that I do on occasion, because Mr. Harnett loves anything with cream, I don't make a pot pie, but I make the filling for a pot pie.
Yum.
Basically creamed chicken with vegetables, carrots, onion, celery. Sometimes I add something else if I have it. String beans are good. Peas. I always have peas in the freezer, so that's, of course, classic. You make a bechamel, meaning a white sauce. You could use broth to do that. Then it's called velouté in French, or with milk. Pardon me?
I'm thinking your chicken pie filling without mashed potatoes or some sort of crust is...
Well, I mean, then you can have it any which way you want. I mean, listen, chicken a la king is nothing but...
Oh, right.
You know, and that goes on toast.
But I will say, I did not... Chicken a la king day in school cafeteria, speaking of change.
Well, I love chicken a la king myself, and I have a very good recipe for it in New York City Food. Arthur Schwartz's New York City Food is my big book. Actually won an award as the best book of the year it was published. And chicken a la king is a Brooklyn dish, of all places. It was invented at a hotel in Brighton Beach. And in the late 19th century, the southern tier of Brooklyn, meaning Coney Island, Brighton Beach, Manhattan Beach, a little further over, was Sheepshead Bay, was a big resort area, including racetracks, horse racetracks. In fact, I live off a street in Park Slope, Brooklyn, that's called Sportsman's Row. And it was built up at the end of the 19th century, from the 1880s to the beginning of the 20th century. Big brownstones and mansions, some of which are gone, but many of which are still here and divided into apartments, because it was inhabited by the racetrack people from Brighton Beach and Sheepshead Bay. The owners, the trainers, jockeys were the big sports stars of the day, not football players. Nobody ever played football. But racetrack. So anyway, chicken a la king dates back to then. And it is basically creamed chicken. But I'm trying to remember. I don't have the book in front of me to tell me what the other ingredients. I remember mushrooms were a big thing in chicken a la king.
Well, chicken but
it's basically
and mushrooms
cream chicken on toast.
I'm
cream chicken on toast. You know, some of those old cafeteria things, Jill, are really very good when you make them at home.
Not the then noodling.
I mean, I don't want to call it what it's used to be called, but chipped beef on toast was something that all the Army guys from World War II used to make fun of. But the fact is, it's not a bad dish.
Well, basically, isn't that...
If it's made well.
It's beef. Isn't it not beef?
It's chipped beef. It's a product.
But is it smoked? Is it more like...
It's been so many years. I did make it once,
many years ago. The cream sauce.
I don't remember. I don't even know where you buy the chipped beef anymore. But,
right.
You know, it's like, where do you get a 2.5-pound chicken? Nowhere. If I see one in the supermarket, I pick it up. Even if I have not chicken on the mind, I mean, I could throw it in the freezer, I suppose. But I'm so happy if I find a 2.5-pound chicken out there, and that we could. And here's a dish that I can't make anymore, unless I buy a Cornish hen, a small bird.
Does not taste the same as a chicken.
Pardon me?
Which does not taste the same as a chicken.
No, it doesn't. But I can do the same thing.
Yes, that
which is
true.
Cook
okay.
it under a brick, except I don't use a brick. I put it in a cast iron skillet, skin side down, of course, salt and peppered, and then I put another cast iron pan on top of it to weight it down so that all the skin on that side touches the pan. And in Italian, they call it al mattone because it's cooked under a mattone is a brick. Okay. However, I know Italians who do this at home, but they always wrap the brick in aluminum foil. So I don't really see that the brick offers any flavor. It's just the weight. So I actually have a press, you know, one of these hamburger presses that would work if I had a small enough chicken. Anyway, that's how you cook the chicken, on top of the stove with the skin side down. At the very end, you can flip it over. But not necessary. You want it to come out extra crispy. I do this, by the way, with thighs alone. If you love thighs, this is a great way to cook them. Just put them in a cold pan, and a cast iron skillet is best, and put it over high heat. And as soon as you see some fat coming out of the chicken, which won't take long at all, the skin is fatty, turn the heat down to low and cook the chicken. For a thigh, you're going to need a half an hour. And I cover it for the last 15 minutes. And this way you get super crispy skin and very moist meat. Should not take more than a half an hour, 20 minutes even. I must say you have to learn how to do this to adjust the heat so the chicken cooks just right and the skin gets really crispy. So that's another thing you can do with breasts is, anyway.
And do you ever just make chicken salad with essentially?
Yeah. Oil? I mean, I only made coronation salad once.
No, I know that. I'm just, for those of
all right,
those
well,
of us not
no,
up,
yeah, I, we love
Hawaii.
Chicken, we love chicken salad here, but I usually just put in celery, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, sometimes a dash of vinegar, mayonnaise maybe, or lemon juice. Sometimes the mayonnaise doesn't taste acid enough to me. Just plain old chicken salad. And I prefer having the chicken stripped off the bones by hand and into shreds,
yes,
big and small, rather than diced.
I don't know why it's not quite the same when it is not... just pulled off the bone.
I don't know.
I do
love salad. So I made the coronation salad. I made a dressing of half mayonnaise and half sour cream. I started out with 3 tablespoons of Major Gray's chutney. Now, Major Gray is a style of mango chutney. It is not a brand, although there is, I think, Cross and Blackwell makes one that the label makes it look like that's the brand. I bought some off-brand, I don't know, some, you know, organic whatever they had in the fancy store, which turned out to be almost a puree of mango and sugar and spices, and it worked perfectly well in this mayonnaise. But in the last number of years, I make my own mango chutney, and I don't make it like a puree. I make it with chunks of mango. I like the chunks, slices, chunks, but, noticeable pieces of mango. But I had to buy some because I had none of my homemade in the house. And there's some of the commercial ones do have big pieces of mango, in which case you probably want to dice up the mango to put it in the mayonnaise dressing. So, and by the way, instead of sour cream, you could use yogurt. You could use, I would say, full-fat Greek yogurt would be perfect. After all, India lives on yogurt. So, not sour cream. So mix the two together with your mango chutney. And I started out with a tablespoon of curry powder. Now, I don't know if it's because my curry powder is not recently opened can and very strong, but I ended up adding another tablespoon. So I would say at least 3 tablespoons of mango chutney, 2 tablespoons of curry powder. I would salt and pepper this, by the way, before I added in the curry powder. It's hard to tell. Salt, whatever. Salt, and what else did I put in there? I think that was it. Basically, mayonnaise with chutney and curry powder. Salt. And I mixed in a half a cup of mayonnaise, a half a cup of whatever, with the seasonings was enough to dress liberally 2 big chicken breasts from this Bell and Evans chicken. And I would say in the end, it was probably, and oh, by the way, this evolved in the States to a chicken salad with, at the end I added chopped scallions. I had at least 5 or 6 scallions with the green part, and half a cup, maybe it was 2/3 of a cup, of coarsely chopped walnuts. The original recipe called for slivered almonds, but I wasn't about to go out and buy a few tablespoons of slivered almonds when I had all these walnuts in the house. And actually, I liked the walnuts better. They added a really good crunch. And if I didn't have the walnuts and I wanted crunch, I would have added celery. I was considering getting celery anyway, but in the end, I got lazy and I left it as it was.
Do you like nut crunch along with celery crunch?
Why not? I just got lazy and decided not to mince it. Yeah, but what Bob missed in the evolved version of this that we make in the U.S., what Bob missed were the grapes. These curried chicken salads. I mean, I don't know if anybody does this anymore, but certainly in our heyday, 20 years ago, that was a big thing, curried chicken salad with nuts and grapes. But the real coronation salad calls for diced, as I said, dried apricots. I find most dry, except for the glacéd apricots, I find most dried apricots are tough. And I like to cook them. I put them in, I just boil them. You could add some sugar to the syrup, but they offer enough sweetening to that by the time you get them nice and soft, the syrup is nice and sweet. So that's all. That's all I have to say this week.
I think that's plenty.
Pardon me?
I said I think that's plenty.
Oh, good.
I think people could have gone to the... people can use this as a chicken...
Well, the thing is this. I still wish I could find 2.5-pound chickens. So I will forever be in search of it. But Bell and Evans is not... And by the way, in my neighborhood, we have lots of Purdue. I do not like Purdue chicken. And I will give you an example of why. There's a recipe in Naples at Table written in the 90s at a time when we did not have so many chicken choices. And I bought your standard American supermarket chicken, could easily have been Purdue, to make this lemon chicken from Ravello. It's a friend of mine who lives in Ravello, who makes this lemon chicken. But I had to alter the recipe because the American supermarket chicken contains so much moisture that at the end of the cooking it would be soupy, and it's supposed to be dry. So I have to cook this. I haven't looked at the recipe in a long time, or cooked it in a long time. But I remember that I had to take the cover off the pot. I could not cook this covered the way my friend does in Italy, because all this moisture in the supermarket chicken would make it soup.
Thank you, as ever and always. And
all
yeah,
right, well, and
cross.
Thank
see
you,
happens.
As ever and always, and I will talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend. Love to Bob, and let's see what happens next.
Thank you. Bye.